You know him from the Smiley Morning Show.
Now he's got his own show. Radio Theology is on ZPL.
If you think I'm going to take care of my own backside, you're in for a big surprise.
Wrapped up in a bag and bound and hit over the head of the mirror.
I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't know what flight I'm supposed to be on. I just need an adult.
So you couldn't get to your travel destination and sit on the beach in tan all week.
Really hard not to pee here, guys.
Oh. You just picked up a poop nugget.
In the pool with your foot.
You guys gotta taste these Jimmy Chums.
You can see me. Speak to me.
Yeah, that when a mommy loves a daddy, they hug in a special way.
Sure, if you want me to. I'm here for 2 years, by the way.
Is someone sauteing onions?
Here's Pub Pastor Darren.
Good morning, friends. It's time for Radio Theology right here on your airwaves. And by airwaves, I mean number one, 99.5 ZPL. We're brought to you by Olivet Nazarene University, and we are your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. Darren Earlywine, your host, here with Lisa Graff, Ryan Allward. And guys, it's beginning to smell a little bit like Thanksgiving.
Yay.
Wow, that was nice. Is that your go-to karaoke song right there?
Yeah, I just wrote it.
I was like, where is it going? Where is it going?
Uh-huh. Hot off the press. Thanksgiving, guys, just days away. Yes. Are you ready?
I was born ready to eat. It's stretchy pants. I've got it all going on.
So you're
going
to go with some pants that will expand with you during the day.
I've still got some maternity pants I plan to recommission Thanksgiving Day.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's resourceful.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday by far. Christmas is great. You know, the gifts, the family, the tradition, the tree, the church singing Silent Night, or not, you know.
But Thanksgiving's your jam?
Thanksgiving's my jam, man.
Why?
I love it. I don't know. I think we all have specialties in our family. Like, my mom's got, like, a really good sweet potato casserole that
she just loves.
And then she's kind and generous enough to go with the green bean casserole as well, just in case you haven't had enough, fibrous vegetables in your system for Thanksgiving. But it's my jam. And it's always really fun to watch Lauren just eat through Thanksgiving dinner as well. My wife is petite, but she can eat like a freaking champ. So it's really, really fun to, So love it.
Lisa, what's your go-to Thanksgiving food item?
Oh, the stuffing. My mom makes really good stuffing with fresh sage.
Ooh, all right.
It will change your life forever.
So isn't there a big debate on stuffing with oysters or not oysters? Or is it sausage?
It's sausage.
Sausage.
Yes.
Oyster
with
stuff?
I don't know. I knew there was something in there. So it's sausage or no sausage?
Right.
Are you sausage or no sausage?
Well, I think we're no sausage. I don't know if a little sausage would have slipped in if I'd have noticed.
Hey-o. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa, what's up?
I honestly didn't mean to say that.
This is a family show.
Gracious.
What's on your mind, Lee? Darren and I flashed each other and immediately we got to edit that out. Wow.
I'll just stick with stovetop. Thanks.
Gosh.
We'll be with you till 10 a.m.
Well, maybe, unless the FCC shuts us down.
Hard to say. Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL. Darren Earlywine here, Lisa Graff, Ryan Allward. And, you know, Lisa, I don't know if you know, the major life spending, like, month and a half is upon us.
Oh, yes, I know. I'm already cringing.
Yes.
I don't like to spend any money.
You can just feel the heat in your purse as the money's in burnout. So I know that if you guys are like us, right now, you know, Black Friday's around the corner, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, all the different stuff happening around the corner and all the presents you got to buy. And you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to make the little bit of money I have now stretch over all this stuff that I got to buy? I mean, you got holiday parties, you got ugly sweaters you got to buy, you got presents for coworkers, the cousin that you don't like, you got to get them a present too, right? So what we did is said, listen, we don't know a ton about managing great finances and getting rid of debt and how to manage it all. So we said, let's get an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Indy's own, our very own Sherry Lowe. You may have seen her on WTHR on Sunday mornings. Her book, Slaying the Debt Dragon, is a phenomenal resource. It's tons of cool stuff that she has on the Queen of Free.
Yes. .net.
So let's welcome Sherry Lowe to the program.
Yes. Thank you.
Welcome to Radio Theology, Sherry.
Good to be here. I listen to you guys every Sunday, so it's like a dream come true for me.
Thank you very much.
We paid her to say that.
You know, yes. Well, as you listen to us, we watch you.
Yes.
As you see here in the monitor, we have it on WTHR all the time, so we watch you as you listen to us. But help us out, Sherry. We've got too much stuff coming around the corner. What do we need to know about debt and about our finances and just what to do?
Well, everybody take a deep breath. Don't freak out. It's going to be okay.
Okay.
Because I think the number one thing we all do is we go into this sort of paralysis this time of the year. Somehow we're surprised that it's Christmas again. It's yeah. on the calendar every December 25th. Right. But each year we're like, oh, no, what do we do? What do we do? So pause for a minute. Take a deep breath. And let's focus in on what truly matters
yeah.
and what we can cut away and making sure that we live within our means.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, what's a first step on that, sure, because I think a lot of people, I'm amazed oftentimes of how often I talk to people and ask, like, hey, do you guys have a budget? Or a lot of times I do premarital counseling with couples. I say, have you guys ever written down your budget? I would say probably 95% of the yeah. time, the answer is no, we've never actually took pen to paper, you know, or digital, however you want to do it,
right.
and actually taken a look at how much money is coming in, how much is going out. So, I mean, what's a great first step to kind of be able to calm yourself down and get a handle on it?
Yeah, you definitely have to know how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. I know a lot of people feel like budget is the other B word. They don't like it. They feel like it's going to take away all their fun. It's going to suck uh-huh. the joy out of life. But really, that's not true. A budget is there just as a guideline to help you know how much you have so that when you get ready to check out at Walmart, you're not panicking, wondering if you have enough money in the bank to cover what you've just purchased or not.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Sherry, your book, Slaying the Debt Dragon, I know this is, you know, it says how one family conquered their money monster and found an inspired, happily ever after. So, I mean, that's big. And I think probably there's a lot of our listeners right now, they're driving and they're thinking to themselves, man, here's what the cycle is. I really try to get a handle on my debt and my money. Then the Christmas season comes along and I charge it up like crazy and I end every year just buried. Can you talk to us about how we can not do that again? Or if people read your book, I mean, I'm guessing that can help them even if they do that.
Yeah.
That in the next, like, right. 60 days from now, they'll be like, I really need Sherry's book.
Right. Well, the goal is that we want to have just as merry of a January as we have in December. So, you know, making sure we stay within our means is so important. And our story was one of not paying attention to our finances. My husband, Brian, and I, back in 2008, found ourselves in over $127,000 in debt.
Wow.
And we began this journey on April 2nd of 2008, because it's never a good idea to begin anything on April 1st, of paying off all of our debt. We thought that it would take us 15 years, 7.5 if we really hustled, but we're thankful God does better math than we do.
Yeah.
And just under 4 years later, on March 28th of 2012, we had stood on the other side of $127,482.30.
Wow.
Which, if you paid off debt, you always know it, down to the penny, down to the dime. We actually overpaid Sallie Mae by a little bit and tried to get it back. They weren't really pleased with us. So about 33 cents. They didn't think that was worth fussing over.
Yeah.
But I want to say, you know, if you feel like you're caught in that cycle, I totally know what that feels like.
Yeah.
I have been there. I know the panic. And if you read my book, you know, I compare being in debt like being in the dark. Mm. It is just difficult. And you feel like you're the only one.
Yeah.
You feel like you're the only screw up. Everybody else has got their junk together. And that's just not true. And so while, you know, you're not alone, you can't just stay stuck forever.
Sherry and her husband paid off over $100,000 in debt. She's going to unpack some of the tips and how they can you can be able to be on the other side of that story. So stick with us right here on Radio Theology. Radio Theology here, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music on 99.5 ZPL, presented by Olivet Nazarene University, and stoked to be with you each and every Sunday morning. And our goal is to make your life a little bit better every single week. And we do that by giving a little perspective on faith. I am an actual real pastor.
Yes.
Right. Contrary to popular demand or opinion or sometimes desire by some people.
You got a piece of paper that says, I'm legit.
I'm legit. Anyway, and so I try to give you, you know, a little faithful, faith-filled perspective on life and different issues. Lisa is trying her best to be a great mom.
Yep.
She does very, very well.
Extremely well, yes.
Is take care of herself and encourage so many other women to really put their own health and just well-being as a top priority. She's phenomenal. She's here every week. She's just a ray of sunshine, really.
Beaming.
Then there's Ryan Allward.
Hey, guys.
He used to be in Straight No Chaser.
Yep.
He sings like a canary. or a parrot.
I don't know. Or, a canary
which
is the most.
Which is the bird? What is it supposed to be?
It seems like a.
It's like a bird. It's more of a just a.
Seems like a bird. Sure, we'll go with bird.
Is there a bird? Is there a specific bird breed that we say people
what
sing
is
like?
A songbird.
Sings like a songbird. I don't know, man. Just keep going.
Anyway.
We're the cast.
We're here with you each and every week. And if you like what we're doing, you'll follow us on Twitter, social media. Just search Radio Theology. We're out there. And each week we release a podcast of highlights of the show. You can find that either on the WZPL website or on iTunes. But Lisa, you have got something started that we need to hear the momentum because this thing is breaking records. Tell us about what's happening with I Am Mother of the Year.
You guys, so I launched this Mama Encouragement Movement.
Ooh,
called Mother
Mama
of the Year.
Encouragement Movement.
Yes.
IAmMotherOfTheYear.com.
Right. And what we're doing is we're reshifting and changing the mother culture in America.
Ooh, okay.
To one of encouragement instead of one of judgment.
Mm.
By celebrating ourselves, which is probably where it starts, through this Facebook group that I started with 40 of my mom friends like 3 weeks ago. Already I'm over 900
Say what?
Moms.
Wow.
Who are just every, yeah, it's happening. And then we're also using Mother of the Year stickers, which we're awarding to other moms we see in public who are doing a great job. And I gave a sticker to a mom in Kohl's last week. Mm. And I was standing there and I overheard her talking to the cashier about how she's pregnant. She's going to have 2 under 2. Her first son was fostered and is almost adopted. And so she had this really compelling story. And I just was like, I need to give you the Mother of the Year award. We cried. We hugged. I'm like, we had a real moment. And then she, through the site, like through the sticker, found the Mother of the Year Facebook group and posted a huge thank you and said that she had been going through a bunch of stuff with pregnancy and illness and parenting and anxiety and everything. And she said, how could you have known that I needed this today? And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, guess who knew she needed it?
Yeah.
Probably God, yeah. Right? And so I'm like, I take zero credit for that, but it was just awesome to be part of something so significant. And before she even like posted that, and I, you know, because you give the sticker and you don't know, you might not ever hear from them again. But I went home and I told my husband and burst into tears, of course. And I was like, this happened and it was awesome. And I'm like, I don't care if anybody buys stickers ever again. I'm going to keep giving the stickers because these moments like help me love you guys better. In my own house. So it was this amazing moment. And so if you want to get in on that and making mom's days, it's IAmMotherOfTheYear.com.
IAmMotherOfTheYear.com. What I love about it, Lisa, is that this was an idea. I really do believe what you said there is that this was an idea that God had.
Yeah.
And he let your mind borrow it to see if you would actually do it.
Yes.
And then you actually did it.
Right.
And I love that it's so simple. Like, I think, you know, we've been talking about we're bummed sometimes. We come in to do the show and there's another tragedy, another thing in the world that breaks your heart, that makes you sad. That's like, man, we have to talk about really heavy stuff. And you can begin to feel almost hopeless or like, how can I make a difference? What I love about what you're doing, and I hope it inspires tons of ladies, is this was real simple. Like, pay attention to people around you. Mm-hmm. Notice somebody who's doing something well or needs some encouragement. Give them a sticker.
Right.
That celebrates a moment for them. And what that small moment of encouragement can do to actually change someone's day and who knows, maybe even change their life.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's crazy to be a part of because I feel like it's always like, it's bigger than me. So that's like a fun, scary place to be because I literally, I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing is what I feel like. But I'm like, I'm just going to keep giving out the stickers and sharing all of these great stories because I do think it could really change lives. Because every mom I've given a sticker to and everyone else, all the other moms who are giving out stickers, the common theme is, oh, you hand these out, oh, instead of judging me. And that's what they say.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry that you have felt judged by who knows who and for how long. And then you probably judge yourself in your head, too, all the time. So we're celebrating each other. We're celebrating ourselves. And it's awesome.
Join the movement. I am motherofTheYear.com. Go check it out. 99.5 ZPL. It's Radio Theology in your ear. We're here every week for you from 7 to 10 a.m., lifting your spirits, filling you with hope, love, trying to be a big source of encouragement to you, Indianapolis. And listen, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Ryan, Lisa, they feel this. I know you guys feel this. We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to the show. We want to thank everybody that's liked us and followed us on Facebook and is becoming a part of the Radio Theology community. It means a ton to us when we're out eating together, hanging out, and people coming up saying, listen to the show. This parting really encouraged me. It really, really means a ton to us. So thank you for listening. And each and every week, we have a moment where we turn our attention to the wonderful, the talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say this in an appropriate way. The beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lisa Graft. Lisa, bring us to Lisa's pieces today.
Okay. This is going to be maybe a spoiler alert for you in your car if you have some children. But it's about Santa.
Oh. So we're going to talk about Santa.
We're going to talk about Santa. And if your older kids are old enough that they are exploring the possibilities of what Santa could mean to them in their own lives.
I think I'm reading between
your
lines.
That's what you're going to say. But maybe if you're riding right now in a car with kids that can't wait for Santa to show up.
Yeah.
Because he's coming down the chimney to your house.
Right.
Maybe this would be a good time to like have a family conversation or turn the radio down a little bit.
You could, but that's the last thing I'll say about it. So you might be safe. You're going to be safe. So don't turn away. This is important for you if you're maybe heading into a season where you're going to be having these conversations with your kids.
Yes.
In the very near future.
I need this. That's why I'm at right there. I've got a 13 and 11-year-old.
Yes. So if you've got a 13, 11-year-old, your kids are probably old enough to become a Santa.
Whoa, like there's an apprenticeship program or something?
Yeah, it's like a one-way ticket to the North Pole and see you later.
Yeah, don't shave. Servant?
You just start going to buffets. You're constantly at Golden Corral.
Just give up. Yeah. Just eat everything.
Put some red PJs on.
Kidnap a bunch of elves.
Give up. Dye your hair white.
To labor. Okay, all right, sorry.
Oh, my goodness. But so the exciting thing is if your kid is old enough to become a Santa himself, lean into that. And so one mom had posted about this, and I saw it, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to keep this for the time when it comes for me. But so your kids, 13 and 11, probably ready to become their own Santa.
I like it.
And how they do that and how you can help them is to tell them, you know, you're old enough now. You're empathetic, and you're sweet, and you're kind and caring and generous. Why don't you pick someone that you know who might need a Santa and find out what they need, like ninja style. So this is like a super secret, you know, like Santa is, super secret venture that you can go on with your kid and tell them to pick somebody. So this mom, her son picked a neighbor lady who has always been super mean and like wouldn't let the kids like get into her yard to retrieve one of their Frisbees or lost balls or whatever.
A Grinch. Sounds like you live next to a horrible person.
The Grinch. Exactly.
Not judging. She just sounds horrible.
But he started paying attention to her and like trying to secretly figure out what she needs. And he noticed that every day she would go pick up, go to the mailbox to get her mail in bare feet. And he's like, she probably needs some slippers. So he used his allowance money. He went to the store, bought her slippers, wrapped them and tagged them to whatever her name was from Santa.
Wow.
Told no one. That's the key is Santa never reveals his secrets and neither can you when you become a Santa. Isn't that good?
I like
that.
So I like that a lot.
Every year, that's what the kids are doing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to do this. Yeah, I can't wait for my kids to become old enough to become a Santa themselves.
When you said that she went to the mailbox in bare feet, my mind went that she had like giant furry feet with claws on it. That's just where my mind
went. Oh, you heard bare feet.
Yeah,
bare feet.
Bare feet. Maybe that's why she's so unhappy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she's got these crazy feet.
No. I love it, Lisa. Hey, listen, that's great advice. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go talk to my wife about this.
Yeah.
We got some secret samurai Santas.
Yes.
In our house.
Yes.
I like it. Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL, presented by Olivet Nazarene University. We're here with our guest, Sherry Lowe, talking about debt, slaying the debt dragon. We're about to spend a bunch of money in the next 30 days. So let's see if we can help, you know, maybe not make it so bad. Sherry, before the break there, you were talking about that you and your husband successfully paid off over $100,000 worth of debt.
Yep.
Just that sentence alone, $100,000 with the debt. I'm getting sweaty. Got sweaty palms over here.
Right.
That's a lot of cash.
It is a lot of cash. And believe it or not, we didn't find a diamond mine in our backyard. We didn't have a great Uncle Jedediah who died and gave us a whole bunch of money.
Which would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been fantastic, but not part of our story. We didn't have a yacht or an extra house to sell. We actually paid that off penny by penny, which is crazy and seems overwhelming. But God made a way for us to be able to do that. We're super thankful to share our story and some really practical strategies for other people to also pursue that lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. So Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. Talking to Sherry Lowe, the queen of free.net. And, you know, here on Radio Theology, we try to give you things that bring you hope to your life. A lot of times they're based around our faith in Jesus and how that forms it. And Sherry, that's something that you and your husband have. And I think to be on the other side of $100,000 worth of debt has to have created a sense of hope in your family.
I always say that I'm a hope junkie. Like, I thrive on hope. I love to give other people hope when it comes to their finances and their marriages, especially if they're struggling in those areas. But, you know, if we had not caught hold of hope, our story would have ended much, much differently. And so I want to encourage people that there is always hope for your money. And there's always hope for your marriage, too, if that's a struggle for you.
Hmm. So what's step one? Like, okay, is admitting you're the problem or you have a problem or whatever? Is it the cliche like, yeah, we got to do this? Is that step one?
Yeah, you know, you do have to get a hold of the fact that what you're doing right now is not working. And if you continue to do what you're doing, you're not going to get anywhere good. It's just going to get worse. And I always tell people that there's no perfect time to begin paying off debt. There is only today. And so it's kind of one of those things where we had a moment where we're like, we have got to get our acts together. We've got to find a new plan that will work for our money, that will provide for our future. And one of the really weird things that we did, which is where the book's title arises from, was we decided to personify our debt. And so the reason why we did that is I often tell people, if I just said to you, like, debt wants to ruin your marriage or tell you whether or not you can send your kids to college or when you can retire or when you can be generous, you'd be like, yeah, that kind of stinks. I don't like the idea of that. But if I went back through and I said, Fred Johnson wants to ruin your marriage, and Fred Johnson wants to tell you when you can give or not, Fred Johnson wants to tell you how old you have to be when you retire,
you'd be like, I hate Fred Johnson.
Right. And pure disclaimer, like, just an example, I love the Fred Johnsons listening out there. So what my husband Brian and I did, we decided to start referring to our debt as the dragon. And we literally wrote letters to the dragon. We wrote eviction notices. It's very quirky and a little far out there, maybe a little fairy tale-esque. But for us, that helped us focus on the real problem and not each other, which is easy to do if you're married and trying to manage money.
No doubt. And what I know, Sherry, is just national statistics. We're talking to everybody that's listening right now.
Yeah.
Is the national, I mean, we're doing a series at our church right now talking about debt and about finances and being maxed out in life. And they said something like the average credit card debt for an American is like $16,000.
We had 16.5. So we were that average number. Wow. So it's pretty prevalent. And then student loan debt on top of that, which we had about $80,000 in student loan debt, wow. Car loan debt for a lot of people, that price that they're willing to pay per month is creeping up. It's around between $400 and $600 for one vehicle for families. And so it's not a uncommon thing. And I think we begin to tell ourselves the story of everybody else does this.
Right.
This is what everybody else does. And I'm living proof that no, not everybody else does this. You can find a way out and you can remain out of debt too. Yeah.
Sherry has her book, Slaying the Debt Dragon. You can get that. I'm sure it's on Amazon.
Definitely, yes.
And her website is thequeenoffree.net.
Yeah, queenoffree.net.
Queenoffree.net. Go check it. You have tons of free resources on the website. Great stuff that if you're listening right now and you feel overwhelmed, like, or man, that's me and I don't know what to do. Listen, your first step is Radio Theology was here for you this morning. Your second step is go to queenoffree.net. And start looking up some of the stuff that Sherry's got and get some resources and some help with it. And Sherry, I want you to dig deeper because, like we said, Black Friday's right around the corner.
Right.
We're about to go into a major, spending, craziness situation with Christmas. Could you give us some helpful tips on some ways to make a dollar stretch and just what we need to look for as we're going into the holiday season? Can we do that?
Definitely.
All right. Radio Theology right here at 99.5 ZPL. Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL, presented by Olivet Nazarene University. We're your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. And I can tell you what you need a lot of hope for right now. It's for your wallet, your bank account, just to make it through the rest of the year.
Yes.
As you're looking at that Christmas list, just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Do you know what you want for Christmas yet, Lisa?
No, I don't. More stretchy pants, probably. I don't know. Is that the total mom thing? I'm like, I still got some baby weight. And then I'm like, I'm probably going to get some holiday weight, too. So let's just stick to the leggings.
Good, good. That'll work. I told my wife that I want to, this, I feel so childish saying this, but I want a new steering wheel for my video game system. I still play video games. I'm about to be 40 years old. Wow. I embrace it. I still like the game. And I just said, you know what? Like, I don't have one right now that works. And I'm like, I'm 40 years old, and I want a steering wheel for a video game. So that's what's on my Christmas list. But we still got Sherry Lowe in studio with us. She is queenoffree.net. Go to check out her website. And Sherry, Lisa got to get, she has to have her stretchy pants.
Right.
I got to have a steering wheel.
All right.
Our listeners, they got a long list of stuff they need. Black Friday is this week. It's just around the corner. Time to really make some dollar stretch.
Right.
Help us out. What do we need to know going into Good Friday? All right. Or not Good Friday, Black Friday.
There's a difference. Yeah, there's a pretty big difference. Yes.
Jesus died for your sins. He doesn't have much to do with you buying a leggings.
Big screen TV.
Yes.
So, you know, here's the thing. Some people cure cancer. Finding bargains is my spiritual gift. It just is who I am, and I'm pretty good at the system now. The number one thing you need to do is some serious research. The Black Friday ads for almost every major store are already out now.
Yeah.
So they dropped like weeks ago even, which is crazy because it used to be this like get the paper, go through them all. Everything is online. Everything is on the store app. There are even maps for where the things are located within the store.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah. So there's not as much as that crazy knock people out, you know, running through the store madness. There's still going to be a little, but it's not as crazy it used to be 5 to 10 years ago. So you can go individually to stores' websites and look for those now. Or there's a couple of websites I like to use. One of them is theblackfriday.com. The other one is bfads.net. And so if you go to either one of those, you're going to find everything gathered together in one place. So you can kind of click around and begin to see where you can find that steering wheel. And sometimes they also have like search engine capabilities. So if you're looking for leggings specifically, it should pull up all the leggings deals into one spot.
Hit us with those websites again, Sherry.
So bfads.net and theblackfriday.com.
All right, awesome.
This one goes out to all the bros out there who might be on the Sunday morning struggle bus. Maybe you had one too many last night and you're feeling a bit hungover. Oh, look, it's a text from your family asking if you're going to be joining them at church this morning. Why don't you send them back a sleepy facey broji, pour yourself a nice tall mabrosa, and enjoy this episode of Bible Bros, only on Radio Bro Theology. Today's story, bros, comes from the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, which you can find kind of near the back of the Broly Bible. Jesus was out and about doing Jesus-y things like calming storms and casting out demons from people. You know, the huge. One day, Jesus and his crew parked their boat on the lakeshore and were soon surrounded by a ton of villagers who wanted to see what he was going to do next. This was pretty standard for Jesus, who was constantly being followed by crowds everywhere he went. He was kind of like a first century Jewish Justin Bieber, minus the tattoo-covered abdomen, ridiculously stupid glasses that your dad rocked back in the 80s, and the haircut of a 15-year-old girl. Ha! Everyone knows Jesus would have probably sported a long butt cut like the bass player from Soundgarden, but I digress. So this one dude named Jairus, who ran the local synagogue, ran up to Jesus and begged him to come heal his little girl, who was super sick back home. Jesus was all like, "Yeah, bro, let's go do it." And the crowd followed him, pressing in on him from every side. Bros, there were more people there than an IKEA on Black Friday. Anyway, there's this one woman in the crowd, right, who's been bleeding for 12 years straight. We're not talking about a bad paper cut here, bros. We're talking about some extremely severe lady issues, if you know what I mean. She'd spent all of her money seeing doctor after doctor, but they always left her in worse shape than the one before. She'd heard about Jesus, though, and slipped through the crowd to see if she could touch the fringe of his robe and be healed. She reached out her hand and touched him, and immediately she could feel the flow of blood dry up within her. Jesus felt healing energy flow out from him, and he turned around asking, "Who touched my robe?" His bros were like, Jesus, the entire town is bumping into you and you're asking who touched you?" But Jesus kept asking and looking around for the person who touched him. The woman, knowing she was the one, stepped towards him, trembling, kneeled at his feet, and told him her entire story. Pause. Can you imagine what that would have been like, bros? I mean, imagine you're Jairus for a second. One minute, you've got the J-Man rolling to your house to heal your sick daughter, and the next, some lady with the world's longest time of the month interrupts the whole thing and starts telling him her entire life story. I don't know about you, but if I were Jairus, I would have been like, lady, my dying daughter is way more important than you. Let the J-Man pass. All right. Jesus saw the faith of the woman kneeling before him and said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Now, as this was going down, some of Jairus' bros from the synagogue rolled up and told him, Jairus, your daughter's dead. There's no use in bothering the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and told Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't allow anyone except his three closest dudes, Peter, James, and John, go any further with him. When they came to Jairus' home, they heard a ton of people weeping and wailing over the little girl. But Jesus went inside and asked, why all the fuss? The child isn't dead, she's only sleeping. The crowd started laughing at him. But he made them all leave and took Jairus and his wife along with Peter, James, and John into the room where the little girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, get up, in a language that I do not know. Bros, the girl immediately stood up and walked around. Everyone was freaking out, totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened and told them to get her something to eat. Part of me wishes it was Chipotle, but it probably wasn't. Bros, what's going on in your life that only Jesus can fix? If there's a crowd that's blocking your way to God, what are you going to do to get to him? What would you ask Jesus to do for you if he showed up at your home today? We want to know. Hit us up on Brocial Media this week at Radio Theology and let us know. Until then, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Bible.
It's Radio Theology here, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music on 99.5 ZPO. We're talking to Sherry Lowe about slaying the debt dragon and being ready for good for Black Friday. Keep saying it wrong. Getting ready for Black Friday. And what? Talk to us about this, Sherry, about just a couple of years ago, they added Cyber Monday.
Right.
You got Black Friday. That's where you go try not to run over people, you know, and camp out. Then Cyber Monday, you sit in your PJs and you can just shop online. Then there's Giving Tuesday now,
right?
Which is the Tuesday where you turn your attention away from buying for yourself or for others and maybe give generously. So should we wait till Cyber Monday? Do you need to go beat the streets and get out there and try to go Black Friday shopping in person? And how does generosity work into all that?
I think that it depends on your personality, right? If you hate crowds, don't go out on Black Friday. You can get a lot of great deals even on Black Friday online at home. You're probably not going to get some of those exclusive in-store deals, but by and large, you should be able to score some great deals on Friday and then turn around on Monday morning when you're at work, maybe click a little bit around and find some good deals too. And I'm always rounding up what I think are the best deals at queenoffree.net, so you can head out there and see what I'm telling you that you should buy. But one of the biggest traps many of us fall into is buying presents for ourselves on Black Friday,
guilty,
on Cyber Monday, right? So if we're really about giving, if we're really focused on others, you should not be like, one for you, one for me, as you go down the aisle. That's not a good idea at all. And then I think it's great to keep a global perspective anytime you're in a season of flurry and, you know, spending, that the majority of the world, it's like 90% of the world doesn't own a car. Mm. 40% of the world doesn't own shoes. That's crazy, yeah. Right. You guys. The majority of the world lives on less than $2 a day. And so while it's fun to score a great deal and it's fun to bless our family and our friends, and that's not a bad thing, I always say that giving gifts to your children is a reflection of God through you. He loves to give good gifts to his children.
Yeah.
That's why you love to watch your kids on Christmas morning open up that it thing and be like, woohoo. Yeah. That's the same way God feels about all of us. But don't get carried away, because there are a lot of hurting people around the world and right here in our own community, too.
Yeah. I love it, Sherry. You can get so much more of what Sherry's got at queenoffree.net. Go check it out. Tons of great resources. You've got budgets on there. You've got tips. You've got Black Friday tips, all kinds of great stuff. And you got a great book. You got this book, the Slaying Your Debt Dragon. You can check out on Amazon. And you've got another one that's specific for the holidays. Tell us about that real quick.
Yes, so it's called Keep the Happy in Your Holidays, 21 Ways to Save Time, Money, and Your Sanity This Christmas Season. It has a lot of the things that we've talked about, plus so much more, you know, things like strategies for giving gifts to your kids without going crazy, or for, you know, buying wrapping paper or fixing a holiday meal. There's tons and tons of tips in it. It's on Amazon, too.
I'm going to our website right now so I can find that money I need for that steering wheel. Radio Theology here on 99.5 ZPL, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. And Lisa, I tell you what, we're just moments away. By moments, I mean just days from Thanksgiving. Lots of people traveling. I'm heading down to North Carolina to see my in-laws. Personally, I enjoy the time I have with my in-laws. They're a good family. But some people can have a situation they are absolutely not looking forward to with maybe some awkward family stuff around Thanksgiving and coming Christmas. I mean, it can get awkward.
Yes, everybody's got a cousin Eddie, I believe, Christmas vacation.
Taking that RV with me when I leave in a month, Clark.
Clark, I'm going to get you something real nice.
Well, I know that. So for some folks, you know, I mean, they're going to have, you know, whether it's completely polarized political views, maybe it's religious views, maybe it's who knows. There's just stuff that you have people in your family that you do not see eye to eye. And sometimes it can be tough to come together and have a meaningful time without things getting awkward, right? So we've got some tips to help Thanksgiving not be so awkward. And I think one of the issues is you got to actually, you know, deal with the fact that it could get awkward and prepare yourself emotionally for that. In fact, we got a call about that, right? You're heading to Thanksgiving, huh?
I am. I got the whole family in the Honda, and we are cruising down I-75, going about 70 miles an hour. The weather is beautiful. Can't wait to get there.
So, hey, I didn't catch your name.
Oh, my name is Tom.
Tom, we were talking about sometimes the holidays, you know, can be stressful with family members that maybe, you know, they bring up awkward situations or maybe they're going through tough stuff. And so, I mean, do you have any issues with your family?
Oh, no issues at all. Our family's actually perfect.
Really?
Yeah, we're actually the only perfect family in America, and that's what I've told myself ever since I heard the VeggieTales DVD from behind me at maximum volume the 8th time in a row. And I'm actually about to drive this thing off the interstate right now.
But Tom, yeah, I mean, that can be tough. I mean, having your kids in the car. I mean, obviously, you know, I know at least you do. I mean, watching the same DVD over and over again. Mm. I mean, it has to kind of get on your nerves, Tom.
Yeah, it's torture, but I consider it a privilege and a joy.
And so tell me, Tom, when you get to, I assume you're going to the in-laws because that's the only reason your voice could be so chipper. I'm sure you have a great relationship with your mother-in-law.
Oh, she's the best. I love her with all my heart, and I can't wait to hear about everything I've done wrong over the past year.
Oh, so it gets a little negative sometimes at Thanksgiving?
A little bit, but I try to keep myself positive with some encouraging self-talk.
What's that sound like, Tom?
It sounds just like this call.
Well, let's hope you're not maybe where Tom's at right now. But, I mean, it can get awkward. If you're going to go into a situation this weekend that you're anxious about, three little tips for you if you get into an awkward relational situation. I would say the first one is this, is seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. So an easy way to do that is if you get in a situation where maybe you're eating, you know, you're just trying to have turkey and stuffing, right? You can't wait to get some green bean casserole, and all of a sudden your aunt, uncle, your cousin starts talking about something that you maybe totally disagree with. Instead of coming out with, "I disagree," here's a great little tip. You can say this, "Tell me more about that." So just get curious about maybe what they're talking about and at least let that roll a little bit. The second one I would say is, and this is a tough assumption, but and maybe on your way to Thanksgiving, ask yourself this question. Do you really believe this, that everybody in your family is actually doing the best they can? You know, Lisa, we were talking about this week about, you know, life is really hard.
Yeah.
And the transitions we go through, whether their job, whether it's age, there's stuff that gets tough in life. And I think if we can start from a presupposition of, you know what, it may not be what I like or what I would choose for this person, but everybody's doing the best they can, I think it stirs up compassion for us.
Oh, absolutely. And it's hard to watch somebody go through something and not be able to actually be able to help them. And that is the same for any grief or life transition, anything like that. And so, yeah, it would be best to just assume first they're trying, they're doing the best they can. And then from there will flow a lot of empathy and compassion.
Yeah. Last thing I would say is this, try your best to ask compassionately curious questions. Ryan, what do you think that looks like?
I always try to say, ask more questions than you give statements. Try to think in your mind, is what I'm about to say end with a question mark or a period or an exclamation point?
Ah, that's good.
Try to go the question mark route, because like you said earlier, that really opens up conversations that might not happen otherwise. And so especially if we're around a table with our family, that should be a time of joy, hopefully, ideally, you know, love, hope, compassion.
Yeah.
Try to ask some questions, dive deeper into it, and assume that you've got something to learn as well.
It's the thought of the day with Pastor Darren.
So there you are. You're stuck in terrible traffic. You're like after a Colts game or after a concert type traffic. And everybody's trying to merge into one lane from the many. And then you see him or her. He or she is that person trying to sneak the nose of their car between you and the car in front of you. And you have a decision to make. A, you wave them forward and allow them to get in line. Or B, allow zero, and I mean zero space between you and the car in front of you so that they're stuck in the perpetual hell of gridlock parking lot traffic. Now, more often than not, I let them in. At least one car. And what do I expect when I let in somebody to the line of traffic? Well, it's a very small expectation. It's not a big deal at all. But for the love of God, if I let you in the line of traffic, I need the cordial thank you hand wave out the back of the car. It's very simple. You just raise your hand and wave it back and forth, letting me know that you're grateful for the freedom I have afforded you. My problem, friends, is that at least 80% of the time, people don't give me the wave. And it drives me nuts. And it shows me that we've lost the art of gratitude. It actually reminds me of a story in Jesus' life. He's on the way to Jerusalem. As he's passing between two villages, he meets 10 lepers. And they're standing, screaming out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," because they have leprosy. Well, Jesus sees these 10 guys. He has compassion on them, and he actually heals them. But at the end of the story, it says that 10 men were healed, but only one even came back to say thank you. Jesus says, "We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this one man?" So you have one guy in the 10 that comes back to say thank you. Only one guy can find time for gratitude. And I wonder if Jesus got annoyed in that moment the way I get annoyed or you get annoyed sitting in a parking lot when someone doesn't give us the courtesy wave. But honestly, how often do we treat God like that? Listen, he woke you up this morning. He gave you a new day of life. You may be able to walk and to see, to smell, to listen to music today, maybe to play with your kids. Heck, you even live in America. Above and beyond all of that, God actually promises that every morning his love and his mercy are new. His love endures forever, and he actually gave his only son to die to forgive you of your sins. And not just that, he's actually created you on purpose and for a purpose and invited you to partner with him to see faith and hope and love change your world and the world around you. But when's the last time you stopped and just said thank you? When's the last time you gave God that cordial hand wave to say, "Hey, I'm really grateful for the life that you've given me and for your love"? You see, guys, saying thank you or being grateful, it may seem like a very simple thing to do, and it really is, but it's also one of the most profound and foundational traits to living a whole life. If we're going to experience life to the full, we must become grateful individuals. I once heard a quote that has always stuck with me, and it said this: "No blessing, no matter how great, will ever fill a heart that is void of gratitude." You see, it doesn't matter what you have. If you're not grateful, it will never be enough. And it's our ability to be grateful for what we have that actually allows us to receive it, to appreciate it, and then become generous with it. And so that brings us to this Thursday, which is Thanksgiving. We'll gather around with our friends and our family, and we'll celebrate gratitude. And I want to encourage you to take some time this week to actually say thank you. Take time this week and do the hard work of finding gratitude for even the smallest things in your life. Hey, how about this? Today, before you leave work or this week, say thank you to your boss for your job. Say thank you to your kids for allowing you the honor to be their parent. Say thanks to your spouse for choosing you. Say thank you to your friends for being there for you. And last but certainly not least, take some time to thank God for loving you, for redeeming you, and for creating you on purpose and for a purpose. And that, my friends, is your Radio Theology Thought of the Day.